Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, today for this ministry meeting. And I'm reading the second half of this fifth chapter, beginning from verse 21 all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 43. And please follow me as I'm reading this portion in the study of the Gospel of Mark. And so we read Mark 5:21. And when Yeshua was passed over again by ship into the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, in Hebrew Yair by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Yeshua went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard that Yeshua came in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Yeshua immediately, knowing in himself that virtue have gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that have done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, lechi beshalom, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? As soon as Yeshua heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the commotion, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this commotion and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of an age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given unto her to eat. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to verse 43. Beloved brothers and sisters, when we sang that song, "If I were you, I give my heart to God before it is too late, I let him in." This song had been sung many times in order to reach out people for the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. And why? Because we know very well that in life, sin have entered into this world since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And since these days, some 6,000 years ago, this world is filled with sicknesses, diseases, plagues, problems, all sort of things that rise up in humanity, on human life, and eventually death. And the Bible said that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And therefore, the writer of that song that goes along very well with the scripture says, if I were you, I'll give my heart to God. Why? Because it may be too late to let him in. Because one thing for sure, the scripture teaches us that one day, all of us, each and every one of us, will have to pass through the process of death. And we will have to stand before the living God and give an account of our lives here. And those that have trusted the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, can have the assurance that we will, for time and for eternity, will spend with him, because he have already paid for the price of our sins when he died for us on that shameful cross, on that tree. And as we study through the Gospel of Mark, we see how clearly the Bible shows us that the only one who is a conqueror over danger and demons and diseases and death is one person by the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of God. That's how the Gospel of Mark began, as we have begun in our study of the Gospel of Mark, where we read in verses 14 and 15, now after John was passed and put into prison, Yeshua came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. When he came among our people Israel, some 2,000 years ago, he appealed to our nation of all, the nations of Israel. And he said to them, repent, because the kingdom of God is going to be established soon. But of course, unfortunately, all Israel as a nation did not accept the Messiah. And then he continued to move along and he deal with individuals from among the nation of Israel in the Gospel of Mark, until ultimately he will go to the shameful cross, where he will pay for the sin of Israel and for the sin of the whole world. And the invitation of the Lord is still today. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you life. I will give you hope. I will give you life if you will only turn your hearts to me. And so how sad this world is. And yet what a joy we have in our hearts when we know that a price for sin had been paid through the person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And so if you remember, we took this portion from chapter 4 and verse 35 all the way now to the end of chapter 5. And the lesson here in this portion is simply this, that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is a conqueror. He conquered danger. When the disciples were in the boat, in the ship, and the waves came, he conquered danger and he said, "Peace, be still." And the waves ceased. And there was a calmness on the Sea of Galilee, in the Kinneret, and they all have enjoyed a time of rest. He conquered danger. Then in our last ministry meeting in verses 1 to verse 20 of Mark chapter 5, he did not only conquer danger, but he conquered demons. And this one man from Gedera, from the place that is known to be as the Decapolis, the 10 cities that the Romans called the Decapolis, their Gedera, the Gadarenes were there, and he came all the way to Gedera because he had to meet one single man who was possessed with demons. And you remember how he took the demons out of this man. And this man sat now calm. Before that, he was shouting. He was cutting himself. He was living by the gravesides. He was in chain and in ropes and he could not take care of himself. No one could hold him until Yeshua, the Messiah, who conquered demons, came and removed the demons, Satan and his demons' activity from him. And he released him. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 5 that this man was quietly sitting down, ready to begin his new life. And if you remember, he asked Yeshua, he wanted to go with him, and Yeshua said to him, "No." He says, "You go. Go home to your friends," chapter 5 and verse 19, "and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on you." You go tell everyone the great things that Yeshua, that the Lord, that the Mashiach have done for you. And he went, we read here, and he presented this before all those 10 cities and the multitude of people who lived in these 10 cities, how great things the Lord Yeshua have done for him. So we have already learned that Yeshua is conquered danger. Secondly, that Yeshua have conquered demons. But now from verse 21 to the end of this chapter, Mark 5, we learn two more very important things. That Yeshua is going to conquer diseases that rise up in the life of mankind, and ultimately he conquered death. And you remember what the Bible tells us? The wages of sin is death. Death came to this world, diseases came to this world because of sin, sin nature. When sin entered into this world, God said already to Adam v'Chava, to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, "The day that you will eat out of this tree, dying you shall die." In Hebrew, the word is mot tamut. It's a process of decay which will lead you eventually to complete death. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, no one can stop death. No one can stop diseases in this world. The only one who can do so, really, is the Messiah himself. And so we read in this portion, very interesting portion, because you have a story within a story. We might say there is an event within an event. It's like one event is sandwiched between another event. And as we learn from this portion, we find out how Yeshua is not only a conqueror over danger and conqueror over demons, but he is a conqueror over diseases and a conqueror over death. How wonderful to know that. Every time when I think about this, it moves my heart to think about the fact that one day we will never be sick anymore, never diseases anymore, never trials anymore, never death anymore. We're going to live for time and for eternity with our blessed Lord, who loved us so much that he was willing to come down from heaven to take the penalty of sin upon himself. And so here, About 2,000 years ago, Yeshua continued his journey among our own nation, Israel, ministering to them, meeting the needs of the multitudes among our own people there in the land of Israel, sometime in Judea, sometime in the Galil, in Galilee, and he ministering to the people of Israel, who just like you and I have so many needs that existing in our life. And so we read, notice that, as we continue on, verses 21, 22, 23, and 24, Mark chapter 5, we have a man, a Jewish man, who is a leader of the synagogue, perhaps the synagogue of Kfar Nahum, approaching Yeshua with a need. I think it is very touching. Here's a leader. A man who has a position here, you might say, in society. Well-to-do, perhaps. You might say he doesn't need anyone. He has a good position. He's, you might say, respected in the community, in the Jewish community, in Kfar Nahum. He has many means because, after all, he might have a possibility to take care of himself. He's not poor from the poor among the nation of Israel. And notice what it says here in chapter 5 in verse 21, as we continue, when Yeshua was passed over again by ship into the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. This is verse 21 of Mark chapter 5. And then verse 22 said, and behold, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogues, Jairus, by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now remember, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua just came back from the other side. He was on the eastern side there in Gedera, in the Decapolis, where all these 10 cities there, known by the Romans in those days. And Gedera, we learn, is there where the Gadarenes from the 2.5 tribes who remained on the eastern side of the Jordan River and did not come into the promised land to possess the land like the rest of the tribes of our people, of all the people of Israel. They mingle with the nations around there, and they got to a point that they were raising now pigs. The pigs are headed to be killed as the demons have entered into them, and they're all killed, went down into the Sea of Galilee. Now he's coming from Gadara, from the Decapolis, and he's entering back, you might say, into the western side, and is now again in the very same place where he was before. And you notice that much people, according to verse 21, gather unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Now again, you notice people were coming around Yeshua the Messiah because they wanted to hear his word. They wanted to receive from him something. And of course, to remind you that the Gadarenes did not want the Lord, the Messiah, anymore there, because they told him and they prayed him that he will be removed. They said to him, remove out of this location. We don't want you to be here, because they lost all their possession. So he left Gedera, left the Decapolis. He is now back in the area, the location of Kfar Nahum area. He's by the seashore. As he is arriving, there are multitude of these Galileans, the people of Israel, and much more from all the corners of the nation of Israel. They are gathering there together, and they are approaching him. They want to be healed. They want to have demons removed from them. They want to receive sights, to hear, to be heard, to hear with their ears, and so on. And they all come to the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. But there is another man that comes along with everyone there. We read here in verse 22, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, and his name is given to us. Of course, in the English, it's kind of messed up the whole Hebrew word. It says Jairus, but Jairus has come from the Hebrew word Yair. Yair means Jehovah will give light. The Lord will give light. Yair. I had a relative by the name of Yair in Jerusalem. And how wonderful to see that this man, who is one of the leaders from the synagogue, may very well be one of the leaders of the synagogue of Kfar Nahum, he is coming to him, and note what we read, he fell at his feet. Now, why in the world Yair will come and fall at the feet of Yeshua the Messiah. After all, the spiritual leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, from Yerushalayim, from the temple and elsewhere, they did not want to accept that Yeshua was the Messiah. And so imagine, he is very similar, I would suggest, to Nicodemus or Nakdimon, who came to Yeshua by night and say, we know that you are men come from God because no one can do the miracles that you are doing. But Yair came by day. He came when everyone could see him. He must have known very well in his own mind that when he's going to come to Yeshua with his need, the rest of the people in the synagogue will not be happy with him. And yet he came. Because he had a need. And he's coming, the English says here, the ruler of the synagogue. In Hebrew, it says one of the heads or the spiritual leaders, or you might say in that particular Beit Knesset. And he's coming. He's coming to Yeshua. And you notice what it says here? He fell at his feet. Now, it's so unusual to fall at the feet of Yeshua, the Messiah. That means that you recognize that this person has something to give. He's someone. You never fall at someone's feet unless you realize who he was and who he is. Perhaps he already recognized in his own heart that there's only one who could help him. His wealth couldn't help him. His leadership in the synagogue couldn't help him. His position in the community couldn't help him. He had a problem, and apparently the problem was that he has a daughter. You notice what it says here in the next verse? He says he beseeched him. Notice verse 23 of Mark chapter 5. He besought Yeshua greatly, saying, my little daughter layeth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she may live. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, we love our children, don't we? God gave us family, gave us parents, gave us children, and we love our children. What would you do if something would happen to your daughter or your son? And you know very well that this person, this child of mine, is in a point of death. What shall you do? What will you do? And you know very well that there is a man by the name of Yeshua the Messiah who was right there in the midst, in the land of Israel, in the area of Galilee, that he's going about and he give healing to all, to many of the people among the nation of Israel. And you know this, and you have seen it, and you experience this. Maybe the leaders tell, no, we don't believe that he was the Messiah, but what would you do when your daughter is at the point of death? And you love your daughter. And so you take a decision. And he made a decision. And you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, he made a decision, Yair that is. His name tells us that Jehovah, the Lord, will give light. As his name, so his action is seen here, right here in this particular verse. And so Yair besought the Lord. He fell at his feet and he besought him greatly. He says, my little daughter, she lying at the point of death. Please, Lord, I pray thee, come. And notice his faith. He believed that Yeshua was able to heal her from her sickness, that she will not die. And he says, just come. Lay your hands upon her, that she may be healed, and that she shall live. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, this man simply didn't follow the rest of the leadership of our own nation, the religious leaders of Israel, who did not want to acknowledge that he was the Messiah. In fact, if you remember earlier, we already read that they said that the healing that he did was done by the Baal Zvuv, the prince of the demons. In other words, he completely, you might say, violated the position that the rest have taken. And you know why? Because he has a need. It is amazing how people change when they have a need in their life. All of a sudden, they don't look at things the way they used to look in pride, but God have allowed them to experience some humility so they will be driven to the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. And so, lo and behold, look at this. He besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Come, lay thy hands on her that she may be healed." And you notice how the reaction of the Lord in verse 24, the response of the Lord, he says, "And Yeshua went with him, and much people followed him." This is verse 24, "and thronged him." That word for thronged him is pressed against him. As Yeshua began, notice immediately, it doesn't take too long, he doesn't wait around, he wants to respond to the need of Yair, of Jairus. No delay. He knows the heart of Yair. He knows that he really meant business. He was really concerned and that he believed on him. You see, faith in a Messiah is essential. It's essential for salvation. But it is essential in every trial that we have in our life. We need to trust him that he will be able to meet our needs. So, no delay. Yeshua immediately, as it says here, Yeshua went with him, much people followed him and pressed against him as he continued. You can just imagine the scene. He is there by the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, on the shore. Multitude of people are standing all around. And as the multitude are standing there to watch and ask them of the Lord to do some miracles in their midst, come a man by the name of Yair, falling before the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and beseeching him, "Come, I have a sick daughter. Just touch her so she will be healed." What a faith these men have had. Against all odds, against all opposition that he must have anticipated from his own people whom he loved, but yet they did not accept that Yeshua was the Messiah. But he believed that the Yeshua is able to heal his sick daughter who is nigh to death. Now here it is, beloved brothers and sisters. As Yeshua began to follow, to go with Yair to his own home, a second story interfered that story. And it's not by accident. It is somehow God bring in another story, another event, another need that exists by another person. This time it's not a ruler, a leader, a well-to-do person, a person that have a lot of, you might say, reputation in the Jewish community among our own people in the land of Israel, in one of the northern towns of Israel. It very well could be Kfar Nahum once again. This time is another woman. And we read, notice, from verse 25, Mark 5, 25 to 34, there is another event that is coming in between Yair's situation. And as the Lord Yeshua the Messiah continue now to go to Yair's home in Kfar Nahum to heal his daughter from her sickness, then another woman, another person come into the picture. This time, we read in verse 25, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Yeshua, came in the press behind him, and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" Now pause here for a moment. You notice the contrast, beloved brothers and sisters? This woman's name is not even mentioned. A certain woman. The Gospel of Luke oftentimes used this expression, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." He went to visit a certain home or a certain house where he went to eat with the family. a certain woman, any woman it could be. But her name is not mentioned. And you know why her name is not mentioned? Because she was really not so much an important woman. She was an outcast. And you know why she was an outcast? It's because she had a problem. She had, according to this passage of Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, she had an issue of blood. In Hebrew, we call it zavat dam. The word for issue comes from the Hebrew word zav. She had a constant discharge of blood. And when a woman has a constant discharge of blood, according to the law, she was reckoned to be an unclean woman. In fact, if you just put your finger here for a moment and turn with me, please, to the book of Leviticus, please. Turn to Leviticus chapter 15. And I want to read for you a couple of verses what the law said when a woman had this issue of blood. Leviticus chapter 15, this is the word of the Lord. This is the law that God had given our people Israel of old before they even enter into the promised land. Just after they went out of the land of Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, he prepared them as they are entering into the promised land. And he gave Israel, our people of old, instruction. So in chapter 15 of the book of Leviticus, it says in verse 19, and if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart for 7 days. And whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. Verse 20. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. Notice that. That this woman, according to the law, a woman that had an issue of blood, she had to be separated or unclean for 7 days. Notice in verse 25 of the same 15th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Verse 25, it says, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days now, it's gone beyond those few days. Now, if she had many days out of the time of her separation, or if it ran beyond the time of her separation, this is that 7 days, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. In Hebrew, the word is tme'ah. Tihyeh tme'ah hi. And then verse 26 said, every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. In other words, beloved brothers and sisters, ordinarily, a woman who would have an issue of blood, zavat dam, should be unclean for 7 days. But if it gone beyond the 7 days, she will be reckoned to be unclean for as long as the issue of blood will continue on. But you see, this woman of Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, whose name is not even mentioned, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She couldn't enjoy that which she would have loved to enjoy with the Israeli Hebrew Jewish community in the synagogue and with the community around, because that's the desire of all, to be part of the community. But because she had this issue of blood for 12 years, she had been like an outcast. Is very similar to someone who had leprosy. Leprosy kept the leper shunned and out from the community of the people of Israel. Now here we find out this woman that had this issue of blood for 12 years. Before us is set right now to show us the complete contrast between Jairus, that is Yair, a wealthy man, public man, leader among the people of Israel, and a woman whose name is not even mentioned, who had 12 years an issue of blood, who is an outcast. Both of them had a need. The one was well-to-do, the other one was, you might say, poor. We're going to see it in a moment. The one had a great position in the community, the other one was an outcast from the community. The one was, you might say, well-to-do, the other one was poor. The one was man, the other one was woman. Complete distinction. And yet both have a need. This is teaching us something that is so amazing. As I was preparing myself for this message, it reminded me what the Apostle Paul, that is Shaul, said to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, he said to them, "For ye see your calling, brethren." He says, "How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many nobles are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." You know, the lesson is simply this. It doesn't matter what the position of one is here in this community, in this world. It doesn't matter whether we are male or female. It doesn't matter how rich or poor, how well-to-do we are or not, or respected or not respected. All of us have a need. And there is one that is ready to meet our need. Yeshua said, "Come unto me, all who are laboring, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And so while he was on the way to Yair's home, something happened. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and notice it says in verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians. She have gone to every doctor in these days that existed there in the Galil, and perhaps she went to Judea, to Jerusalem, and she wanted some help because 12 years with this issue, zavat dam, the blood is flowing and flowing and flowing, discharge of blood. She needed the help of the physicians. But apparently, no one could help her. No one could help her. In fact, look what it says here. She spent all that she had. You go to this doctor, you pay so much. You go to that doctor, you pay so much. And you go to the third one, you pay so much. And you go to the fourth one, and you end up, because you have a need, and you go to all these physicians, you spend all that you can, because after all, you are no longer in the community. You are an outcast because you ceremonially cannot be among the people. So she spent all that she had. In fact, it says here, she was nothing better, according to verse 26. In fact, she grew even worse as time goes by. Will she continue the 13th year and the 14th year and the 15th year? Well, she didn't want to continue this way, but she heard that Yeshua was there. The one that the whole land have heard about. The man that came, was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. The man who came from heaven, the Mashiach himself, who proclaimed that he is the one that wanted Israel, our people, to be ready. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, the news that I bring to you. And so she came. And you can just imagine, she was wrong in following the press. She could not touch anyone because anyone she touched is defiled immediately. Because as we read in Leviticus 15, if she was sitting on a bed, that bed was defiled. She had to be outside of the community for 7 days. But look, she came when she had heard of Yeshua. And she came in the press, in the multitude, among the multitude, behind him. And you notice, she touched his raiment. And you know, I love that passage because in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, he doesn't say it here, she touched the hem of his garment. And I don't know if you know, and we probably should know, that again, God gave our people of old who came out of the land of Egypt an instruction that when Israel would come into the land, Israel should put tzitziot in a corner of his garment. Let's read that in the book of Numbers this time. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 15 for a moment. And I want just to show you verse 37. Earlier we read Leviticus 15. Now Numbers chapter 15. The same law, the Torah Moshe, the law that God gave to Moshe from Mount Sinai, and God even instructed Moses. He said in verse 37, the Lord said unto Moses, saying, verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes. The Hebrew word is tzitziot. That's where you get the word tzitzit. In the borders of the garment, throughout their generation, this is verse 38, why? They will put upon the fringe of the borders of ribbons of blue. And then he says, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go ahurying, that ye may remember to do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Now those tzitziot on the four corners of the garment were colored with blue, and the blue will remind Israel that there is a God in heaven to whom they are accountable, and therefore that they are to submit to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and live a holy life that is pleasing to him. It was like something to see. You touch your garment, you lift this up, and you say, oh, blue, I'm accountable to the living God. It's like a reminder. And yet, we can see that as Yeshua was passing by, and I'm confident that he had the tzitzit as he lived among our own people, she just touched the hem. It says the English hem, in the Hebrew it says knafot, bgadav, the corners of his clothes. And he does say, notice that, and I'm back to Mark chapter 5, and she touched the clothes of his garment, for she said, and I'm reading now verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, that's all, I shall be whole. Now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, the faith that this woman had in the person of Yeshua. Now let me remind you that the faith that she had and the faith that Yair had is was in the person of the Lord. He didn't die as yet. He was not buried as yet. He didn't rise again as yet. He was going to do so later on at the end of his ministry. He's going to die for the sin of this world. But the faith was in a person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. They believed that apparently he came from God. He is the Mashiach. They didn't quite understand what you and I understand today, because we have the whole canon of Scripture. We can look to the Gospel, we can look to the Epistle, we look at the book of Acts, and we read all the, what you call, Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant. They only had the Tanakh, and their understanding of what's going to happen was limited, but they believed that Yeshua was the one whom he said to be, the Messiah, the one who came from heaven, the one who came to introduce the kingdom that is going to come, the one that was promised by our forefathers, the prophet. So she said, if I'm going to only touch his clothes, just a touch, I will be healed. And so amazing how she came and she touched him. And you notice what it said in verse 29, straightway, no delay, the fountain of her blood was dried up. and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. No delay, beloved brothers and sisters. How wonderful to see. She touched the tzitzit. She touched the corner of his garment. And in a moment, in a second, she was healed. And as we read here in this verse, her fountain of her blood was dried up. No more draining of the blood. No more the issue of the blood. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And the Bible calls it a plague because the flowing consistently, the flowing of the blood for 12 years became as a plague to this poor woman. For 12 years, beloved brothers and sisters, we see here in this passage. And so we move along and we see now again this story or this event is sandwiched between the event that is happening to Yair, to his daughter that is dying now in his own home. On the way to Yair, to Jairus' home, all of a sudden this event occurs. A woman plagued with an issue of blood, believing that Yeshua was indeed who he was, the Messiah, touched the corner of his garments, and immediately she was healed of that plague. So the Bible tells us, Mark chapter 5 in verse 30, that Yeshua immediately knew that virtue, that power, have gone out of his body. He knew that immediately because he does say, and Yeshua immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now it makes you wonder. Hundreds and thousands of people pressing against him. All of a sudden he asked the question, "Who touched my clothes?" Well, anyone could have touched your clothes. Because everybody want to walk with you, walk beside you, listen to what you have to say, touch you, and be with you as you walk towards the house of Jairus, the house of Yair. But he knew very well that power of God out of virtue. By the way, the word for virtue, it's come from the Greek word that it says dunamis. Dunamis in the Greek, in the English is dynamite, and the Hebrew is come from the word gvura, power. Remind us of the verse, the same word in the Greek and as well in the Hebrew in Romans 1:16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah, for it is the power, the dynamite, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek." The power that came out from him. He sensed it, he felt it. And we learn immediately that here is a man, the Messiah is a man, yet he is much more than just a man. He is the Son of God. You remember, brothers and sisters, the whole Gospel of Mark began, the beginning of the Gospel of Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Son of God, Ben HaElohim. He is more than just a man. Had he been only a man, he couldn't help us. He couldn't deal with the question of sin. He couldn't forgive sin if he was only a mere man, but he was the eternal Son of God, the Emmanuel, of whom we read in Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:6, "A child is born and a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity." Beautiful to realize that. And here, power have gone out of him. Virtue have gone out of him. He turned around and he's looking at the press and he says to everyone, he said, "Who touched me?" Now, immediately his disciples, you notice, they quite didn't get it. Because apparently they said to him in verse 31, the disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude pressing thee, and you say, who touched me?" They didn't understand it. And you know what we learned from this? That even though many pressed against him and wanted to be near him, not everyone had the faith that this woman had. See, the crowds
all around, but there are individuals who really meant business with the Lord. They had a need and they wanted that need met and they wanted that He will heal them. And you know, brothers and sisters, there are so many needs, not only the physical need, think about the spiritual needs that man has today. We all need the Savior, the Mashiach, the Messiah, not only as a healer and improver of our bodily needs, but the one that will save us from sins. Faith is essential. In fact, the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, and he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Believing is essential. We know very well the famous verses in the Brit HaChadashah, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is essential to believe in the person of Yeshua the Messiah. Later on, when He died and was buried and He rose, then we read, if you shall confess Yeshua as Lord and believe that God had raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. One must believe that He rose from the dead in this present day today, but He didn't die as yet. At a time where the Gospel of Mark was presenting the life of the Lord, she needed to believe in His person. Yair, Jairus need to believe in His person, that He is indeed the promised Mashiach, the one who came from heaven. Now notice that I'm continuing on. In verse 31, 32, 33, and 34, we see the reaction there in these next verses. What's happened here? You notice immediately, after the disciples said, how come you say, who touched me? Don't you see all the people are around you? They all touch you. And he looked around about and he saw her, that she had done this thing. You know, the Lord, He knows who touched Him very well. He doesn't need to ask who touched me. He looks, He turned His back and He see that woman. He see her very well. And you know, He sees the hearts of each and every one of us. He knows what's going on in our hearts. We might hide it. We might seek to conceal it before others who do not know our hearts, but the Lord knows our hearts. David of old said to our God, he says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart, know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. The Lord can search our hearts. He knew her very well. And so when he turned around and he looked and he saw her, as we read here in verse 32, Mark chapter 5, the woman fearing, notice that, she fearing, she trembled, she knowing what was done in her, she came, and notice, she fell down before him, and she told him all the truth. You see, in the earlier passage, verses 21, in verse 22, Yair, Jairus, fell before him. But now we find that this woman is falling before him as well. That shows us that they were broken. They realize the need that they have. And they recognize who the person of Yeshua is, and they fell before him. In a sense, you might say, recognizing his divinity as well. If Yeshua was not divine, he would never allow anyone to fall before him and bow before him. Remember, thou shalt not have any other God before me, God said to our people of old. And when Peter came to the house of Cornelius, Cornelius fell before him. Peter said, get up, I'm only a man. And when Yohanan, John, have seen the vision of the angel and he bowed before the angel immediately said to him in chapter 22 of Revelation, get up, I'm only a servant like you. But Yeshua, he is more than just a man. And before him, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If they will not do it now, they will do it later. It's better to do it now and to do it and accept his grace than to do it later and to receive his judgment. Amazing. She fell before him, and notice that she opened before him and she told him all the truth. You see, probably tell him, Lord, for 12 years, I'm separated from my friends and my family. And the reason is because I had an issue of blood. And I was, in a sense, an outcast for my own people. And there was nowhere that I could get help. I went to get doctors to get help from the doctor. They couldn't help me. I spent all my money and I don't have anything anymore. Lord, you're the only one who can help me. And that's why I came. And I touched you because I believe that you're going to be able to help me. And the Lord honor simple faith in him. And so we read, notice how wonderful. This is, I think, the only time we read in the gospel of a woman that is called daughter. In Hebrew, the word is biti, my daughter. And so we read, listen to this, how wonderful. He's saying to her, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made the whole, go in peace, lechi beshalom, lechi leshalom, and be whole of thy plague. He already have healed her, but now he's telling her, go ahead, lechi, go in peace. And he says to her, be whole of thy plague. And we can say, beloved brothers and sisters, here, that it's not only that he healed her physically from her issue of blood, but spiritually, there was a healing spiritually. You see, we again, all of us by nature have a disease. And that disease called sin. Sin needs to be judged. And the only one who can heal us from our diseases and our sin-sick condition is the Mashiach who came from heaven to pay the price for our sin. And so we read here in this passage, verse 34, is where that concluded the event with the woman that had no name, anonymous woman, no name whatsoever, yet he healed her physically and spiritually. And now the story or the event that began with Yair, Jairus, is continuing on. Remember, he had a daughter that was sick nigh unto death. So in verses 35 to the end of Mark chapter 5, verse 43, the continuance of the event with Yair is set before us. And so we read in verse 35 that while he yet spake, he was just speaking to this woman, there came of the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master? Don't trouble him any further. So apparently, something happened while the Lord was on his way. What happened is that the daughter of Yair died. And who knows, Yair could have said, Jairus, Yair could have said to the Lord, hey, don't stop him. Run quickly to my house. Why are you now dealing with this woman? But you see, there is no problem with the timing of the Lord. He knows everything that he's going to do, step by step. Just like in the time of Lazarus, that he delay his coming, that Eliezer will die eventually, and he will raise him from the dead. We find out right now that he's no problem with the delay. He continues on. And notice that it says here in verse 36, Yeshua's words of comfort to Yair, and he said to Yair, Jairus, that is, as soon that Yeshua heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, or to the leader of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He comforted him, and he gave him an assurance, just simply trust me. Believe that I'm able to meet your need. Don't be afraid. And I can again imagine, beloved brothers and sisters, Yair must have felt terrible knowing that his daughter is nigh unto death, knowing that he may never see her anymore, what shall I do? And so the Lord Yeshua comforted him and he said to him, don't be afraid, only believe. And now notice verse 37, 38, and 39. Yeshua is taking with him only three unique men. It says here, Peter, James, and John. Yochanan, Yaakov, and Shimon. These are the three men that he always were near to him, very close to him. These are the three men that you often find them in Scripture. You might say the inner circle of the disciples. You find them in the Mount of Transfiguration. You find them even later on at the end of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14 a little bit. Again, you find him again before he died. If you remember that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took Peter and James and John. Peter and James and John. Here, Peter and James and John. Those were the inner circle. They were the closest group, you might say, that always find themselves very close to Yeshua the Messiah. He took them with him, verse 37. He come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees, what does he see when he arrived to the house? He sees a commotion. The people are weeping. The people are wailing. The Hebrew word wailing, meyalelim, and weeping, bochim. That's what happened in a funeral service or in a place where the dead are. People are weeping. They lost a loved one. In fact, you even have some, in history, we even had some professional wailers. As it says here, people are wailing, you know, in order to identify with the family loss. We even had those that are professional wailing in order to arouse everyone to sense the loss because someone dies. The commotion there. And then finally, when Yeshua arrived into this house, then when he heard that and he saw it, he come in, he said unto them, why make ye such a commotion? Verse 39. And why you weep? The damsel is not dead, but she's sleeping. Now, of course, as far as they're concerned, she's dead. But as far as the Lord is concerned, he's going to wake her up. She's only sleeping. She's temporarily died, but he's going to raise her. She belongs to him. And you notice the Bible teaches us now, actually, later on, that death for the believer become a picture of sleeping. Scripture teaches us in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the those that slept through Jesus, through Yeshua, he will raise one day. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air with those that are sleeping through Yeshua. The believer, his death or her death is merely sleeping. It's not death. It's a temporary position until the Lord will raise her. And so here it is, just to draw in, beloved brothers and sisters, towards the end. When he said that the damsel is asleep, she is not dead, everybody that was there began to laugh at him, according to verse 40, to scorn him. People don't realize that. I don't know if you've ever stood beside the grave of a loved one that just passed away. And you can look around and see the people. I remember a funeral service that I've done years ago for a little boy. And you can see the loss. You can hear the crying, the weeping of the loss. Because death means separation. Death brings everything to an end in this world. All the natural ties that we have with someone have vanished. Death is the end of a relationship. If you lose a loved one, a husband, or a wife, or a daughter, or a son, or a father, or a mother, it brings to an end, it cuts the relationship with a person. It's sad. That's why the Bible said to the believers, for we sorrow not as others, which have no hope, but we do sorrow. But not as others, which have no hope. The believer in Yeshua have hope. But here in this world, death sever every tie that we have. And that's why it is sad. And that's why we weep. That's why we are wailing. That's why it's pain. Give us a lot of pain. And Yeshua knows the pain that they had. And so while they laugh him to scorn, not understanding that he is able to raise a person from the dead, he put them all out. And then what did he do? He took with him inside the father, the mother of the damsel. And he took Peter, James, and John, Shimon, Petros, Yaakov, and Yohanan, and they all went into the bed where the little damsel lay down. Indeed, she was dead physically, yes. And so we read in that last verses here, Yeshua comes. I never could ever see in Scripture that Yeshua go to a funeral. See, you and I go to a funeral. But he is the resurrection and the life. When he goes to a funeral, he turns it into a celebration. Because he can't see the dead, he has to raise him or raise her. And so we find out that he took the damsel by the hand. And then he says, notice this is wonderful. In Hebrew, the word he called her Tali or Talita. It comes from the Hebrew word little lamb. The word tale in Hebrew means a little lamb. Tali means my little lamb. And here we find him, he said unto her, Talita, little lamb, kumi, rise up, in Hebrew. And say, we read here, which is by interpretation, damsel, arise, kumi. And straightway, notice, no delay, the damsel arose, and she walked, for she was at the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Tali is the Hebrew word for little lamb. Talita is a feminine name. Kumi in Hebrew, rise up. It reminds us of this wonderful verse in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, where we do read about the Messiah when he's going to come. It does say, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs. That's the word, the talet, the little lambs. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. This is a prophetic word from Isaiah 40 and verse 11 about the Mashiach that will come to restore one day the nation of Israel. But here's an individual talet. An individual little lamb, a girl who was only 12 years of age that have died, and Yeshua raised her from the dead. My little lamb, arise. And so she rose, and everyone was astonished at the doing of the Lord. Who can do such a thing? Only God can do such a thing. But this man, by the name of Yeshua, was more than just another man. He was indeed the Son of God. And there is a conclusion to chapter 5. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and he commanded that something should be given unto her to eat. Now, when I read this verse, I was just saying, what do you think, Lord? Nobody will know what happened here? Everybody was weeping and wailing. Everybody knew that she was dead. And you telling the family, don't say to anybody anything. Now, of course, the more he said, don't say, the more they went and told everyone, my daughter was dead. She's now alive. You remember what the Samaritan woman said? Come see a man who have told me all that I ever done. Is not this the Mashiach, the Messiah? And you know, you and I, when the Lord does things in our life, we should tell others. Let others know what the Lord have done in your life and in my life. May the Lord just encourage us to realize that the Lord is a conqueror over danger, over demons, over diseases, and over death. This is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of God, who came from heaven to seek and to save them which are lost. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.